Welcome to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast from the North Dakota Safety Council, where we discuss safety at home, in the workplace, and in our communities, recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM or online at radioaccess.org or ndsc.org.
Hello, I'm Chuck Claremont, and I'm the CEO of the North Dakota Safety Council, and more relevant to you, I'm the talk show host of Talk Safety to Me, the North Dakota Safety Council's podcast. Our topic today, it's holiday safety tips, and we are talking to our information manager, Terry Alvashear. And why are you saying we're bringing in Terry Alvashear, information manager? It's more than just cyber security and cyber issues potentially during the holiday season. But for us, Terry's got a great background. He worked for a restoration company for several years, saw the aftermaths of, I'm going to guess, a lot of mistakes that people made and some that were devastating and very hurtful for the people that were around them. And so, Terry, first of all, thanks for coming.
And good to be here.
Yeah, and second of all, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself and what makes you so qualified to talk about holiday safety tips.
Well, other than my lifelong history of learning by failing, I've made a lot of the mistakes. No, I worked with a restoration company, and it's amazing how many fires and things happen over the holidays. And the holidays are a tough time because people are out of their norms. They're doing things they wouldn't normally do. They're pulling out that ladder they only use once a year. And, you know, they've got different traffic patterns. Their furniture has been moved. They've got decorations all over the place. They've got company coming from all over. They're driving at times they shouldn't be.
The stress level during the holiday season also seems to be higher for people, too, which I'm guessing could potentially add to more hazards.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's dig right into this. So, okay, we're not going to talk about Black Friday crowds, although I'm sure there's going to be plenty this year again. And I'm going to guess I need a TV for the house, so I'll probably be in line at Best Buy, potentially. But, hey, what are some of the safety issues that people should keep in mind during the holiday season?
Fires are a big one. I mean, both cooking fires, Christmas tree fires, electrical fires, slips, trips, and falls all year round. That's one of the number one hazards, especially in the home. Ladders in particular this time of the year, and then driving and impaired driving.
So those are four big ones. So let's kind of hit all of those. So the topic of fires, Terry, I know you got some, I don't even call them great stories. There's stories that with some of those, oh my gosh, endings, cooking fires are one of the big issues during the holiday season. Some of us don't cook very much and we think we're expert chefs and try to cook a turkey or whatever else during the holiday season. So yeah, I know you got a couple stories relating to cooking fires, and I think sometimes stories tell the best safety tip. So give us some of your cooking stories.
All right. Well, we'll pick on the birds this time. So one of the things people like to do at the holidays is cook like a whole turkey, and they just get a big old vat of grease. They're going to cook that whole turkey. I encountered one situation where the homeowner wanted to make turkey for him and his buddies, and he ended up putting some pieces of turkey in there that hadn't thawed completely. Well, what happens when you introduce water into super hot grease? The ice crystals in there actually spattered. The grease came, jumped out of the pan, boiled over, caught the fire, and the entire thing started on fire. They tried to put it out, tipped it over, actually spread the fire worse, and ended up burning up the whole room. They were fortunate to get it stopped at just that room.
So the moral of that story is make sure you're chicken or your turkeys, they're thawed.
Make sure they're thawed, and probably don't do it in a carpeted room.
Okay, good point.
another story I had, if you got time for one.
Absolutely,
more.
Let's give you another one.
There was a situation, the homeowner put some chicken on to fry, and this was a Halloween story, and she went outside to check on the kids and see what they were doing, and the kids were all excited and had their little baskets ready, and they were dressed up, and she forgot all about the chicken and went trick-or-treating. And by the time she came back an hour later, the chicken on the stove had completely started on fire. It managed not quite to catch the cabinets on fire before it ran out of fuel, but the smoke and the stink from that fire, we ended up throwing away all of the furniture, all of the carpeting. They were unable to use their house for guests for the better part of a week while everything got sealed, repainted. So these minor little incidents can turn into something fairly major.
So distracted cooking.
Distracted cooking.
I am the prize. If you're going to cook, make sure you keep your concentration level on cooking. What are some of the things during the holiday season that makes fires so relevant?
Well, like one of the problems with wiring is, you know, that's the only time of the year people are setting up lights, and it might be Halloween, it might be Christmas, but they have a tendency to daisy chain their light strings together and overload a circuit. They have a tendency to decorate their sidewalks with lights, and they may not be rated to be under the snow. And, you know, what does snow do when it gets warm? It turns to water and it runs into the circuit. But Christmas tree fires are a doozy because a lot of people still like the smell of the natural tree. The problem with them is they get really dry and there's a lot of surface area there. And when you see a fire start, it might take 3 to 5 minutes for a normal house fire, a garbage can fire or something, to really catch. In Christmas trees, it's measured in seconds.
Saying we should water our Christmas trees if they're real?
Water them, yeah, pick them up, get them out as soon as they're dry and they quit taking water. They are really extremely flammable.
So what are the things, okay, say you say a Christmas tree, what should a person have? I'm going to guess, say, a fire extinguisher should be something that you should have all year round, but surely during the Christmas time of year would be something that would be a piece of equipment, safety equipment that would be beneficial to have around.
Yeah, you should have it. You should know where it is, and you should have it inspected and make sure that it's actually functioning. It's not, you know, some 15-year-old tiny one that you had from before, and make sure that it's a rated for electrical fire as well. You don't want to throw water on a Christmas tree fire because there's lights involved.
So you mentioned rated. So you also talked about in an earlier comment, you said lights outside that might get wet and whatever. How do you tell which lights a person should be using outside during the Christmas season?
They should be UL listed for outdoor use.
Pretty simple, right? It should say outdoor use. Something seems simple, but I'm sure that's one of the things people aren't looking at when you're buying lights. You're buying colors, you're buying whatever else. So make sure you look at the product to know what you're using it for.
Right, and if you're buying them at a discounter, you know, make sure that, you know, if the English spelling isn't correct, they might not really be UL listed.
Okay, that's a good tip. I like it. So another thing that we know are big hazards around the home is slips, trips, and falls. And we've talked cords and you name it. And what makes the holiday season so unique with this slips, trips, and falls?
Well, one, again, we come back to the extension cords. They're going to be laying in places they shouldn't be. But you've got your decorations, and sometimes they're big decorations, or they're hanging off a wall, or you're dodging them. but, I mean, even simpler things like the tree stand. You know, you have a big tree stand and a medium tree, and it's covered by a skirt, and you don't see it's there, and it's now something in the path that you wouldn't normally trip over. The other thing is you assume that there's going to be icy sidewalks and icy driveways and steps you're dealing with, but that one little rug that you have in there for you and the wife and a couple of kids to soak the moisture off your shoes, now you suddenly have 14 guests in your home, and the shoes themselves are a trip hazard. All the snow and ice melting off of those shoes running in your entryway becomes its own slip hazard.
So what do we do with them? What do we do with the cords? Let's start with that. So we got cords potentially running across places. How do you make it so that they're not such a hazard?
Well, you want to run the cords around the side of the room. You don't want them running up the middle of the room. Use the closest outlet that you can. Also, don't plug, you know, one extension cord or one extension strip goes into the wall. You don't daisy chain those together either.
But it's easier. You see a lot of people that take a 5-footer to 5-footer to 5-footer, so you shouldn't be doing that.
No. Get one correctly rated one.
One 15-foot one with
the... and resist the temptation as you're going along your carpet because most homes in this part of the country have carpet, to tuck it under the trim behind the carpet to get it out of the way. That would seem to be safer, but it's not. If that cord gets warm, it can actually create fires under there.
So icy sidewalks, how do we make it so the icy sidewalks, what should a person be doing to make sure that's not a fall hazard?
Well, if you get the snow off sooner, you're going to have less melt on there that's going to cause ice. Sometimes they'll put down salt. But the purpose of salt is to burn through the ice to loosen it so you get it off right away. You don't just salt them and leave them. They'll refreeze. That's how you damage concrete. Actually, using sand or kitty litter is probably a better idea. It's something you can do right before the guests arrive. You can sweep it off later.
Multi-use kitty litter. I like that. So now let's move into ladders. And that's one thing that it seems like such a simple topic. People talk about ladders. Oh, I got a ladder. No, I know how to get up on it. But I can't tell you how many times I'm out at people's houses, you see people using ladders incorrectly. So what are some of the situations where ladders come into play? And, you know, talk about what's the maybe a safe way to use a ladder.
All right. So the first thing with ladders is usually comes around decorations. So you're going to be going up in that back corner of your garage to get down those heavy boxes.
Yep.
Maybe like I have a reusable Christmas tree and it's in the farthest corner of the garage. You got that heavy, awkward thing that you're climbing down a ladder with. And then you're going to be putting up decorations on the tree. You might be putting up decorations on your house. Maybe you got convinced that it's time to make a gingerbread house and you're going to go run decorations all around your gutters and your edge. But there's really two issues with the ladders. One is make sure you're using the right type of ladder. Yeah. So there's A-frame ladders and there's, you know, straight extension ladders, and you don't try and use one as the other. So the A-frame ladder would be appropriate to climb up and get things down. You're going to be standing up putting the star on the Christmas tree. You should use an extension ladder when you're getting up on your house, on your roof. And then make sure that you have at least three rungs above the platform that you're transferring to. So you should have at least three rungs above the edge of the roof when you're going to transfer onto it so you can secure the ladder.
And I hear people talk about points of contact when you're on a ladder. What's the conversation behind that?
You want to maintain 3 points of contact at all times. So 2 feet in one hand. You don't climb up like a monkey. You want to make sure you have 2 hands before you move 1 foot, and you keep going up slowly that way.
And, you know, you mentioned having these heavy boxes or whatever else high. Ask for help. It seems to me that's one thing you don't hear people doing. You're like, oh, I reached up and I hurt my back because I was trying to get this heavy box or Christmas tree that I had up in the top shelf that I use once a year. It seems simple, but correct. Get your buddy to come help you, right?
Yeah, if you can grab it and pass it down to somebody, and how are you going to maintain 3 points of contact when one hand is full? You have to violate the rule. But another tip on the ladders is how they lean. So make sure that it's not too upright or you're going to tip over backwards. It's not too far forward or you could slide down. A easy tip for that is if you're standing at full height and you reach your arm out and grab a rung, when you're standing vertical, that's the correct lean of the ladder.
That's a good one. I mean, I have had friends, unfortunately, with some devastating injuries falling off ladders. And that's a piece that it just seems like people don't realize how big of an issue falling off a ladder is.
Yeah. And I've actually been part of situations where people have fallen on ladders, and both times they followed their training and actually rode the ladder down. That's the safe way to do it. You don't jump off the ladder. If you actually ride the ladder down.
So if it happens to fall, if it's not braced appropriately and for some reason something happens that it kicks out, ride the wave, ride the ladder down.
Yep. You might get injured, but it will be much less than falling on your head, or, you know, they typically get bruises instead of breaks.
Okay. Driving seems to be a big issue in travel during this time of year. And you hear all the time about how many people are out in the roads. Motor vehicle crashes, when we talk about worker safety, it's the number one or two leading crash in all of our industries. When we're talking community safety and we're talking holiday safety tips, driving, there's so many people out in the road. Give us some tips and some vehicle safety tips that a person should be thinking of during the holiday seasons on your vehicle.
Well, first you want to start off with, if you're taking a road trip, check your vehicle over. Make sure that you have working lights, that all of your signals are working, your headlights are working, and adjusted properly. I see a lot of those on the road where they got one shining up in the atmosphere. They are adjustable.
Who do you talk to for that?
Your local mechanic can help you with that, or even some of the car parts.
Because that's something I'm guessing most people aren't even thinking about. They're thinking, my light's in, I'm good to go, I'm not going to worry about it.
Right. And the other thing is your fog lights, they're part of the car. They're not alignable. So don't run your fog lights if you don't need them, because they actually shoot up toward traffic, so they can blind people. The other thing, it would be tire pressure, because in the winter, the cold temperatures actually naturally bring down the tire pressure. So make sure they're aired up, because the good contact patch will give you better traction.
Does it, so tire pressure, so that's surely one of those, again, people probably aren't thinking of that it changes. There's a lot of times we go out to your car and you all of a sudden you look and the tire light comes on, that low pressure, and not that the tire's bad, it's just change in temperature.
Yep, ambient temperature takes away some of that pressure. So you air them up in the fall and maybe have to let a little out in the spring.
Okay, that's a good one. Anything else, like wipers, I mean, things like that? What are some of the common things potentially driving that person should be worried about?
Well, the other thing is to realize that your maybe had a little social lubricant at the event you were at. You might be slightly impaired. Other drivers are probably slightly impaired. You're stressed, you're tired, you're driving at times in traffic patterns that aren't normal. Be aware that it's not just you, that other drivers out there make the assumption that the other drivers are likely impaired and give them a little extra space.
And hey, if you're gonna enjoy some holiday beverage, call somebody to give you a ride, give your keys away. Or be a friend. I mean, that's another piece that so many people don't talk about, is that your responsibility is not just for yourself. Sometimes it's helping that person you might see that has had too much to drink, give him a ride.
Yeah. And if you're the host, I mean, it might be on you to offer them a place to stay or arrange for a ride or collect their keys if they're really gonna party.
Yeah, so don't drive if you're gonna party. Hey, we're not there to tell people not to have fun, but hey, if you're gonna enjoy the holiday seasons, whether it's alcohol or something else that might impair you, it's be responsible. Yeah. Yep. So, okay, I don't want to talk about this, but we have to, because it's still prevalent. COVID, it's one of those, to me, it's a four-letter word, but it's something that we need to be responsible when we talk about it, to say it's still around. There are still issues around with COVID, and it could potentially affect your plan, and not just COVID. There's other maybe common viruses that are out there. Give us some information on what people can be thinking about in COVID and how it might affect our plans in the holiday season.
Well, there's a couple of things there. One is, I mean, you're packing more people into the same size space, so it's going to be a little bit harder to enforce distancing. But it's not just COVID. Influenza is really prevalent this time of the year as well. You know, consider smaller groups or larger spacing. Try and stick with groups that you'd normally hang out with anyway, the cohort idea. So you're not introducing, you know, a lot of new people into the group. Respect the wishes. A lot of people have different levels of concern about COVID and influenza, and respect the wishes of hosts or guests who are a little more fearful. You know, mask when asked.
And that is a big one, because I know that even my wife last year, there was a party she had went to, and it was, she was kind of shocked, where it's like she walked in and they gave her a mask, and it's some of the people that went to the party they were upset about it. So maybe as a host, hey, pre-inform your people, let them know that, hey, if it's masks are required, because if you have a problem with it, probably shouldn't go.
Right. Right.
Okay. So here's a big one. Now, Terry, it's time for our Talk Safety to Me Would You Rather quiz. Are you ready for this one?
All right.
Okay, here we go. So, Terry, would you rather get trampled by a Black Friday shopper or fall off your roof while hanging Christmas lights?
Well, I would rather do neither of those, okay, but I have perhaps fallen off my roof once already.
This is your earlier conversation about your mistakes, learning from your
failure,
mistakes.
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying you'd rather not fall off a roof, or
it would be more likely that I would fall off a roof than get trampled on Black Friday.
Well, now that you've worked for the Safety Council, you aren't going to be falling from a roof anymore, right? You know what you're supposed to be doing.
That is correct.
Okay. And Black Friday, that's just around the corner. So that is an issue. I mean, we just saw the Travis Scott situation with people getting trampled and some of the issues with heavy crowds. What is the answer to the Black Friday crowds? How can you be safer when you're in a situation like that?
Well, a lot of the places now are launching Black Friday earlier. You don't have to wait till that Friday. Some of the retailers are saying, we want our people to, you know, have a holiday time too. We're not going to open in the wee hours of the morning. And a lot of, you know, you can shop early and, You know, if it's a chain store, you can shop online. If it's local retailers, obviously we'd like you out there supporting them. They tend to do like a Saturday or a Monday thing instead.
So I like it. So you could just avoid it and go shop online if you have to. So that was awesome. Terry, we appreciate you joining us and your expertise. We know you're much more than a database manager. We understand, or information manager. We recognize your skills. And obviously today you had a lot of great information for us. So, hey, that's the end of Talk Safety to Me with the North Dakota Safety Council. We'll have more episodes dropping soon. So stay connected with us and, more importantly, stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast of the North Dakota Safety Council, recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find our podcast, safety training options, information about our annual conference, and much more at ndsc.org. You can also listen to Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM and online at radioaccess.org.